Rabbi Lipiansky is willing to take questions for those who feel like they have a question that everyone can benefit from. You can do that out loud. Otherwise, if no one has any questions they want to say out loud, you can talk to the Rav afterwards as well.
Yes?
For the majority of the crowd who are of Talabat and working with the Kibbutz Shalom, should our Hasaga of what success means to be make as much money as possible so that you then have the Yicholas to go back to the base Medrash? Or is a person's Hasaga in life not be to strive to ultimately get back to that place of being in the base Medrash? And I know I'm touching on a lot of things that are the same there, but should a person not even orient themselves that way before, that it's not about attaining a certain amount of wealth that will ultimately get them back to the base Medrash for a greater quantity of time, but that's in their tafkid at that point forward in life, is to just work.
So you're right, I touch on a lot of things. It's hard for me, to subscribe to a philosophy that there's a huge chunk of our lives that is just kind of has devoid of meaning in itself. It's very hard in a person's, there was a boy in yeshiva many years ago that had a taste for nicer things in life. Let's put it that way. And he said to me something. He feels his task in life is to make a lot of money, to work to make a lot of money and help out yeshivas or whatever it is. I said, you know, maybe your task in life is to work and to be omed in a lot of nisyonos about honesty, not become wealthy, but be somebody who was zocha to midrash shechet terchak and losonos. No. He says my task in life is to make a lot of money, to give a lot of tzedakah. We went back and forth, my ruach hakodesh against his ruach hakodesh, and he didn't buy into my message terribly. So, you know, it's very, very hard. The idea that a person can adopt, to make a lot of money and then I go back to research that. It's overlapping an ideal that's not ours. That a person's life is doing things that are constructive in whatever way. And that, you know, it's a struggle. Everyone has to find it. What do I do with every day of my life that's worthwhile? Some of it could be the struggles, to be honest. Some of it could be what I'm doing positive, building, helping, healing, defending. You know, a person feels that the things he does are emes and honest. Those are things that I can't believe that a person's life is 40 years wasted on retiring to a kol someplace. And it's not the Darkei Sholom. Vasafta Ganecha is, for anyone who's osek in these inyanim, in the olam around, Vasafta Ganecha is not, there's no retirement age for that. So I don't think it's a healthy way to look at it. I don't think it's an honest way of looking at it. I think different people have different kohos. And my father-in-law, Zohar Nebrach, was the Mir of Shiva. I remember, I was in the house, there was a man in yeshiva, a Swiss young man who worked as a psychologist half a day. And I saw working as a psychologist half a day puts you much further out of the machna than working here as a psychologist all day long. That's a different world. And he was asking my father, I happen to be working the house, and whatever, maybe he should give it up and he should learn all day in yeshiva. There was in that room one of my nephews who's unfortunately was born with a lot of issues and not well, and he was draying around there. And my father-in-law told him, as long as you can help a boy like that, that's where you belong. People need to feel that whatever they're doing has merit and value to it in itself. Like I discussed about Yeshiva Sha'olam. You don't have to always wait, so should I be better in Beis Medrash? Is that a choice? Did you feel the kol that you'd be also Yeshiva Sha'olam? If you felt that way, then okay, that's a Chesed Nefesh. But if it's just a guilty conscience that hasn't actually, you know, realized itself, just kind of maybe I should learn, I don't see that that's going to get a person very far. Yeah. Okay.
Just maybe regurgitate or clarify that point. Is that because a person should be focusing on what's present and in front of them, Meaning if a person is at that point and they're 65 years old and they have the money, is it better that they should continue in their avodah that they did for the past 40 years and not go to Beis Medrash even if they have the chance? Or is this just a matter of I need to focus on what's in front of me now and not spend the next 40 years worrying about where I'm going to be when I'm retired?
At any age, a person needs to honestly ask himself, it's not, you know, when a person is young, and for the vast majority of people, learning is the Avodas Hashem that changes them and makes them the people that they are. And everything else is really kind of because they're fidgety. So it's extremely appropriate that you focus on keeping person Beis Medrash. That you tell the person, listen, forget about other things, focus, get into it. I mean, for the vast majority of boys, that's the appropriate mahalach hachinuch. They'd rather, you know, the thing we were raised with, and rightfully so, was that, you know, you want to do every mitzvah except sit and learn. That's the, you know, that sitting and learning is the hardest avodah. It's a very ruchnistic activity. It requires self-discipline. It brings out the person's sichus. But at some point, a person finds his place in the world. His kochos, his circumstances, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu put him, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu endowed him with, where does he fit in? And an honest cheshbon nefesh needs to ask himself, what? And yes, for some people going back to his measure is the right thing, for some people continuing doing what they're doing, for some people doing other things. It's, you know, it's the answer has to be an honest cheshbon nefesh. And even if we don't know 100% what the answer is, but an honest cheshbon nefesh where a person understands what his motives are and understands where he's biased, is at least that's the beginning of making a decision that's reasonable.
Any particular perspective changes or insights that Rashi has come to since the Sefer came out? If you would write another chapter or another letters to the editor that particularly struck
you? I don't know. I hope that the Sefer is a catalyst. It's not meant to be the fine work. I think Klal Yisrael has a lot of talent, and if a lot of people would think about these issues in an emistic way, I believe we'd have a lot more good things. I'm hoping that, you know, many people will express many different ideas. It comes out of a wealth. I always tell people, when I hear people kind of start taking, sniping at yeshivas, I remember the world before yeshivas. I don't want to sound like the old man from the old generation, but I do remember when nobody was in yeshiva. Rabbi Willig was like the mid, was a yeshiva bach. He was older than me, Rabbi Willig's father. He was older than me a few years, and I remember seeing him the first time in RJJ talking to Rabbi Shafchik. I said, wow, that looks like a Ben Torah. Like he always had a presence. I mean, I was a few years younger. But who went to learn? Who learned? And the people rank Amaratzim. And Shmiras HaMitzvahs was wretched in terms of the level of observance, in terms of this. And it wasn't only that. It couldn't stay another generation because nobody had, very few people had any real inner connection. Yet people that were mostly nefesh, wonderful Jews, they were simple. It couldn't last. It had nothing to carry it over. No intellect, no emotion. And something extraordinary happened. I don't know how it happened. Nobody knows how it happens. It happened. There's no reason in the world why Lakewood and the Mir and Bris become the success stories. When, you know, I can't pinpoint that any one thing. When I left Eretz Yisrael, Lakewood had 200, wait, 300. I remember as a boy, Lakewood was a place with a handful of people that were learning. That was it. And the whole ruach on the street was against it. Nobody continued to yeshiva after high school. That was, I still remember when to go to yeshiva high school was a battle, but it was already becoming the common thing. It was the outlier that didn't go. How did it happen? I don't know. And Baruch Hashem, that's why we are here where we are. Now we have to think of what's the next step in Avodas Hashem. How do we make an entire life be a Torahical life? It's going to need a lot of thinking by big people and working through a mahalak that will continue it. You know, it's I would hope that, you know, the next chapter is written by many, many people. That's what I really hope. Yes.
Should I have advice for a person, a balabas, who's no longer sitting goes to Base Matters the whole day. And then on the Sunday, starts off their Sunday morning learning for 2 hours. That how to then take, has an hour later, 2 hours later that night, to then not get this feeling of, I learned 2 hours already today. That's an hour long more than I learn on a regular day. How to combat that?
So I think I made this comment when a few weeks ago for Akri. Someone asked something, well, imagine, so let's say I sat 5 years in call and learned and snap. So I told the person, 5 years is what you measure time in jail by. In other words, I did time. What do you mean you learned 5 years? You decided you learned the bavlis, you decided you learned your day, you decided you're learning this. In yeshiva, on the one hand, the idea was Torah has no goal, no limits to it. It's positive, it's right, Torah is infinite. So the only thing we do is have starim, and you're learning 12 hours a day, 10 hours a day. You're not wasting time, you're not wasting time. Yes, that fits. But as time begins to move on, unless a person has more concrete goals, it's like you say, it's like, so I learned 2 hours, so another hour. So in the double safe. I mean, every time I have free time, my conscience is going to come and bother me. Might as well, nip it in the bud and stop for 2 hours. If a person has some projects in learning that he enjoys and accomplishes, so the muscle, and when people are studying for your data tests, it's one of the issues I see. When you learn in a yeshiva, like the mirror where I learned, there was nobody learned your day, it wasn't part of the yeshiva, and there was no smicha, and there was no... So people learned for the sheer enjoyment of it, and they were shakur and learning and so on. But there wasn't any time a sense of... There was always another way to look at HSH of Yibum. There was always another way to see it, and there's always another... That reflected the infinite quality of Torah. But then somebody would decide to learn your day, so they didn't do it in yeshiva, they went to somebody in private. And he, all of a sudden, there was a sort of a big paradigm shift where now he had goals and he had a reason to cram an extra 2 hours because he wanted to finish this siman also. He wanted to chaz over that siman also. I believe if people were to be able to formulate, for one person, it might be chazing over something until he, for the first time, he knows it. For another person, it might be going through an inyan and then being able to write it up very clearly. For another person, it might be learning with two or three people that he wanted to learn with, or teach to. I believe that a goal-oriented would make that decision a lot easier. Because if a person would feel, wow, I mean, you've had people who've written Sfarim, people who are not Yeshivalite, but Baal Batim, who focus in different areas, and they've written Sfarim, that sort of pushes you. So I want to get it out by then. I don't think of it anymore, another 2 hours. I think about it, oh, I have it, I can do it then. I think if we learn to shift it to goals, I think things will fall into place by themselves, Mr. Shem. Yeah.
The Rashida quotes the Kedushas Levi about how a person, when they're amel in whatever their yigi is, that they're involved in, that itself is Lumina Torah. Now, the cynic in me, and the cynic, I would imagine, and anybody who said...
Kedushas Levi wasn't cynical, that's the problem. He was There's a Levi Baditcha, for those who don't know who wrote the Kedushas Levi, yeah.
So, it sounds like, the Rosh Yeshiva is telling us this, certainly not the messaging we got in Yeshiva, the Rosh Yeshiva is telling us this to kind of soothe our guilt, our guilty conscience. But after May Vesper, we go up to Shemayim Kavati to Matorah. We're gonna pull out a Kedushas Levi and say, yeah, we spent 10 hours doing legal work, so we did it. We were Mekayim in Torah. And how vite does the Kedushas Levi go that we could feel we didn't learn that morning? We didn't know about Sefer that day. Kedushas Levi says we were Mekayim 10 hours of doing that.
So Kedushas, I want to say my father's Zohar Nevracha was the Shiva Demir. So he didn't. He said one shekloli a week. Wasn't his thing. He didn't enjoy saying shir, didn't want to say shir. But I would see him a lot. It was one would never see him engaged in fundraising. Still a mystery how he got the money to pay the yeshiva. He told my brother in Rosh Hashanah before my brother in Rosh asked him, so how did you get the money? He says, I have no idea. And you'll use your bitochan like I use my bitochan. That was basically, no one knew, but bills were always covered. Not they, I mean, there wasn't much in terms of what it needed to cover, but b'cholzeis. But he would spend a lot of times in a house pacing the floor, And over the years, I came to realize he was being done on a lot of shilas. Is this right? Is this right? I mean, he wouldn't share it, but somewhere along the line, it's been figuring out that the struggle with deciding right and wrong was a big struggle. And he spent a lot of times ribbish shilas, hakaras hatov shila, hiring somebody, paying some. These things weighed on him, and this, I think, drained most of his energy. Was that? What Kedusha Levi means is, there's a lot in a person's daily activities, like business and so on, where a person can ask himself halachically, morally, he can go through things like that. Again, depending on the job and so on, and I think that's what he's referring to specifically, that a person's mindset is that he's dealing with issues always and thinking about them from a different perspective. Is this right? Am I allowed to do it? Can I do it? I think that's what he's... I don't think he means it's automatic. I think he means a person can do it. I think that's what he's referring to. And it's one of the things I suggested for people to learn is issues that come up in the workplace, to go through the sugya. It's very helpful. When you get a bottom line psak, it's hard for it to stick, and you don't know where the person's coming from. He sounds like he's a machmi, he sounds like he's a mekel. If you go through the sugya a lot, first of all, because it's relevant, you have a bigger zika to it, and then you get involved in it. So it depends what job, what profession, but there's room to do that type of thing. You have doctors that have written books about issues in the medical field, which are quite common. Many fields have issues where you ask yourself, is it right? Or is it not right? So, law is something which a lot of times you're doing things that you have to ask yourself, am I allowed to do this really? If this was run by halacha, could I do this? Should I do this? Is this onor? Is this not onor? Is this getting money? It's not yours. Are you allowed to keep it? A lot of these things do have, and I think that's what Kedusha Levi is referring to. That's the tone of what he says.
Right.
Yeah.
Rebbe spoke about the concept of, I guess, Derech Eretz Kamo LaTorah.
Right.
And that it's not that a person changes their mitos because they learn. And I think that, like, when you're in yeshiva, there's a lot of yeshivas that have that perception that a person molds themselves and becomes this amazing person through the Torah, but not the other way around. So the question that I have is, if really it's a prerequisite, right? The person needs to be honest, intellectually honest, and whatever, all these different things, which I assume is what it means by the being a receptacle.
Right.
Where does that come from? Is it just looking in the world, Derech Eretz, and saying these are things that I need to be in order to be able to, like, even begin to learn? Where does that opening come from?
So, there is a concept of hamor shabo machsim lemutav. In other words, the general sense is, we can't go. It's like the Mesilas Yesharim. Is there any point in learning Mesilas Yesharim when we never get past the first shah? The answer is yes, because a lot of times they complement each other. The pieces fall together. You start with a boy, there's a lot of chinuch supposed to be, in school he has a lot of stories, a lot of musr and things like that. There's a change. When you start learning, the activity of learning itself changed the person a lot. The discipline of sitting down, using a seichel, asking yourself, is this right, is this wrong? So as long as you're mindful of both, the job of a Rebbe, Rosh Hashiva Mashgiach, is somebody who's a mushchas, and the learning is feeding the worst parts of him to do something radical. For everybody else, it's a balance. You say to yourself, okay, he's a little wild, but he's gotten into learning. The learning will do a lot. We'll also occasionally sort of push specifically about the excesses and so on. So true Torah can only be, Klal Yisrael never recognized a gadol b'Torah who was flawed seriously in his personality. And people would say, yeah, he's a big guy, but, and people who were not Nizan Lasharis finished the sentence, and most other people just left it that way. And there was there was sort of an unwritten thing that a person who's not shlemistic in mitzad the person, then he might be very smart, but I can't say that his das is a kabbalistic das. But when it comes to a person, self-personally, learning itself has a very powerful effect. So you try to work both so that when everything clicks into place, you have a clear kibbul and you have appropriate Torah. Okay.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Lubyansky. I mean, anyone wants to talk to you privately, but I think we're...
Okay, we'll save it.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm sorry.